Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today, coast to coast here in America, and all the way around this world. Whether you listen by radio, the podcast, or both, I'm glad you're willing to spend these minutes with me at this hour. As you know, if you've been with us, we are making our way systematically through the 42 chapters that make up the Old Testament book of Job. Due to our time restrictions, we are not able to look at all the chapters and verses in depth. I consider what we are doing to be more of a survey. I have tried to keep up with a certain pace, hoping to draw your interest daily to the Bible, yet not go so fast that it's hard to keep up. As always, your feedback is helpful to me, so let me know what you're learning and how you like the pace. I'm using the analogy of the book of Job as a stage play, and we come to the theater, take our seats, and look up at the stage and watch this real-life drama unfold before our very eyes and ears. And here is an important programming note. We are now at the end of Act 2, Scene 6, and the end of Chapter 19. Obviously, Scene 7 follows Scene 6. Scene 7 is Job chapters 20 to 21. Here, Zophar speaks again and Job responds. But I am not going to comment at all on these chapters due to time restrictions. I am also not going to comment on the beginning of Scene 8, Chapter 22, when Eliphaz speaks again. This is also due to limited time and because it is honestly more of the same. The friends stick to their themes and Job just keeps on defending himself. It would likely have been wiser for Job to stop defending himself, but you know how hard that can be when someone is attacking or drawing conclusions about your character. Anyway, my point on programming is this. I am now going to draw our attention to Job chapter 23 and 24, Act 2, Scene 8, where there are lots of practical application for us to learn and apply to our lives today. Okay, I wish we had more time, but we do not. So let's take the time that we do have and make the most of it. The Bible calls this redeeming the time. Again, we find ourselves at Scene 8 in Job chapters 23 and 24. There is a lot of wonderful content here, but I invite you to focus with me on two aspects to Job's relationship with God. The first is in Job chapter 23, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to read this for you, and then I will share some comments. If you have your Bible handy, I hope you will read with me. If not, check this out later in your copy of God's Word. This is Job chapter 23, verses 1 through 5. Then Job replied, "Even today my complaint is rebellion. His hand is heavy despite my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would learn the words which he would answer and perceive what he would say to me." Job 23, verses 1 through 5. To be sure, Job is again filled with pride. Job's sin is on display in these statements. Who does Job think he is? He is going to present his complaints to God, is he? Job is going to go marching up to God's seat, is he? The man, the creature, is going to say to the Creator, "I present my case. Here is my argument." Pride. His friends have forced it out of him. Instead of defending God, Job accuses God. Instead of exalting God, Job exalts himself. So do note that. We do not want to say what Job says in these statements. This is not an attitude of Job's we want to copy. But when Job says this in response to Eliphaz, I find this to be similar to experiences I have had with the living God that I keep on hearing about other Christians having as well. And it is interesting. Typically, this is what happens to believers who are the more mature, who have the most intimate relationships with Jesus Christ, and who have been drawn close to God by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the more mature a Christian becomes, the more one can feel like Job. God suddenly seems distant, and we yearn to be in his presence, but we do not know quite where to find him. I see this in verses 3 and 5. Verse 3, oh, that I knew where I might find him. And verse 5, I would learn the words which he would answer and perceive what he would say to me. Have you ever felt as though God has gone missing? Do you have the longing of verse 5 within you? In my experience within myself and in listening to others, often a significant element in suffering is that God goes quiet. Now, of course, God's word is always with us, hopefully in us, if we have internalized it. But nevertheless, there seems to be a distance between us and God. Whereas before our prayers were answered with greater speed, now answers seem delayed. Maybe the answer is no, or the answer we did not want. So it is only that we are not accepting of his answer. But it seems to be more than that. There is a loss of intimacy, and we miss him. We wonder, where can we find God, and what will he say to us when we do? This experience is often prominent in the life of suffering Christians, and I want to draw this out of the Bible because, for those of you who are enduring some suffering, I think it will help you to know what Job felt. If you feel this way, it is actually normal, not abnormal, and it is a strange part of being a part of the family of God. In a profound way, Job's lament here will be comforting to you. What you now experience, a chilling distance from God, is what he already experienced. And of course, other men and women in the Bible did as well. In order to miss God, you have to know God. In order for you to feel that somehow his presence eludes you means that you have spent precious time in the presence of the living God. When you experience prayers that do not seem to be going anywhere and remain unanswered, that means that you are a man or a woman of prayer. You have invested good time before his throne of grace and experienced many answers to what you have spoken with the Father about in the past. So I think this is what happens to the more mature Christians when a time of trial comes and there is a testing of our faith. We miss that which we have had. But if we had not had intimacy with God, Father, Son, and Spirit, if we have not been a person of prayer, a man or a woman who has dwelled in the presence of the living God, then we hardly notice that anything is different when troubles come. I suggest to you, from what we read in the Scriptures, this is one reason troubles have come to you. It is the discipline of the Lord to bring you to him, for you to give him your undivided attention. But in the case of Job, he was a man who knew God intimately. We have well established that at this point. When Job experienced tragedy in his life and he felt a sense that intimacy was lost with his heavenly Father, he knew what he was missing and he wanted that kind of relationship with God back again. So you might ask, yes, I have experienced this also, but why? Why does God seem to withdraw from those of us who are maturing in him? Well, there is mystery here. But my succinct answer, more of a finding through personal experience and in reading the men and women of the Bible, is that it can seem that God pulls back amid suffering so that he can draw us in deeper intimacy towards him. It is like this. We are going to a new level, a deeper level, or if you prefer, a higher level, further up and further in towards the heart of God. God is holding us. God does have us. God is not silent. God is a strong tower that we run into and are safe, but we have to navigate our emotions in these seasons of life. My analogy here is marriage. Over the course of many years, several decades, a lifetime for some of you, there are levels or stages of intimacy that are built between husband and wife. It is my conviction that marriage God honors is only between one husband and one wife. At certain critical junctures, one can feel some sense of loss of intimacy with your spouse. I do not mean sexual intimacy, although that can be a part of it. Maybe your spouse is going through something, and he or she kind of withdraws a bit from you. He or she is silent, quiet. Your spouse is not responding to you like he or she once did. But as you navigate this challenging period, still loving and caring for one another, what happens is that you actually grow closer. You reach a new level of knowing one another, of sharing life together, and of understanding something more about your husband or wife, maybe even something about yourself in relation to him or her. Well, can you relate to this? Like all analogies, this one breaks down at some point, but capture, if you will, this. The space, the distance that you felt between you and your beloved served a good purpose. It brought you more closely together. And that is what can happen between God and us. Like in verse 3 when Job says, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." And verse 5, "I would learn the words which he would answer and perceive what he would say to me." So too, you feel this way. But as you navigate a challenging period in your relationship with God, still loving and caring for the Lord as he loves and cares for you, what happens is that you actually grow closer. And I think we must always be willing to do whatever it takes, to go through whatever we need to go through, to have a deeper or higher intimacy with our God. There is no relationship, including marriage, that is more valuable and important than our relationship with the God of this universe. Right? Do you agree with me on that? Well, in my feeble mind, that is part of what God is doing as God seems to withdraw from us during times of testing. Here is what I am very confident of. As we will see, this is what God did in Job's life. And if God did this in the life of his faithful and righteous servant Job, why cannot God do the same for us? Consider this. Give it thought. Well, once again, we are out of time. Tomorrow we will return here to Act 2, Scene 8. So join me then as we continue to discover who God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.